Okay, so it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I underline that word, who. And it's kind of interesting because next comes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Those aren't who's. You know, and I looked at that and I thought, well, that's kind of odd. What he's saying is, when he says the word who, he's talking about life in general. These things that you that are mentioned here and then at the end of it just represent life. It can take on different pictures. These kinds of problems can come from all different avenues. It can be because of governments. It can become because of family. It can become from sin in our lives that creates issues. It can be because of somebody else's sin spilling over into your life. Have you ever had that happen? It can just simply be the fact that we live in a broken world. Okay? It's nothing specific, and it can come from all kinds of areas. It can be something that happens while you're in the will of God, doing the will of God, and just simply the fact that you got an enemy that doesn't want that to happen. Whatever the case, the story is, the Lord is saying, he's asking us a question. He'd say, Dave, let me ask you a question. Who or what can you go through in life that is going to be able to separate you from me? We're taught that when we get saved, the Spirit of a living God moves inside of us. Do we believe that? Well, then that means you have the very being that said, let there be light, and there was light inside of you. If you walked over to the outlet and you poked your finger in that outlet, you'd know something. Okay? People die of getting electrocuted, and I'm thinking, well, I've done that before, and I didn't die. It's different for everybody. Probably depends on how long you leave your finger in there. But here's what you can't do. You cannot deny there's power in there, okay? You cannot put your finger in there and go, there's no power. You cannot invite the Spirit of the living God inside of you and that Spirit take up dwelling inside and not come in contact with a power. It's impossible. And although you will never be perfect, you have to at least acknowledge there's something in there. Because he can't be in there. I mean, you're talking about an awful lot of power. Okay? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, who can separate us from the love of Christ if I'm living in you? All right? It goes on to say this. Nay, in all these things, what's written in verse 35, what you see down in verse 39, it says, nay, in all these things, we. Now, you believe the Bible is the word of God? Amen. Does God waste words? No. So could God have said that in all these things, we're conquerors? Would that be sufficient? Well, sure. I know what a conqueror is. They said the British Empire, the sun never sat on it. And when you go overseas, you realize that's true. I mean, Britain's everywhere. They're like Coca-Cola. So you understand what a conqueror was. They went in and they took a piece of land and they held that piece of land, and it didn't matter what the enemy was. They were always stronger than that. And God is saying this, that in these things in our lives, obstacles, that in these things we can be more than a conqueror. And here's something that when I was pastoring and I come back, and even in my own life, I think that Christianity has accepted some of the things of the world because we are accustomed to failure. We're accustomed to not hitting our goals. We're accustomed to having to live with the things the way they are because that's what the world does because they don't have any help. We name it names, we give it excuses, and we just live with it. And Pastor, I don't think God wanted us to do that. We wonder where the pioneers are today. The guys that you see in our past, people like Billy Sunday or some of these missionaries that went out and pioneered, went through great obstacles. We're not seeing that happen because we're lacking a generation of people that know how to pioneer, know how to just, no matter what comes their way, stand for God. You know, a few years ago, I was reading about a 15-year-old in Holland. She's 15 years old. Any 15 years old? If you're 15, raise your hand this morning. 14? Any 14-year-old? Okay, 14 right here. So she was 14, 15 years old. She sailed around the world by herself. Could you imagine? You know, most 14-year-olds, they can't even find their homework. You know? And you're going to get in a boat and you're going to sail. When I read that, I thought, well, there's two things going on. Either she was an exceptional 15-year-old, or sailing around the world is not as hard as I think it is. How do you don't think that halfway out there, could you imagine Pastor and I go do that? I mean, 20 minutes into it, there'd be a lot of regrets. Hey, I wonder if I still get cell signal. Call this thing off. In the middle of the night, in the Atlantic Ocean, by yourself, that boat, lunge, and I'm thinking, this girl is lost. Yet look at what she's doing. And then look at Christianity and what we claim to have inside of us. And look at what we're doing. Okay, read another lady, 60 years old. We got anybody at 60? She swam the Bering Strait between Alaska and Russia. First off, why would you do that? Second, the moment you hit that water, you talk about obstacles. You ever seen a walrus? Okay, there's a reason they look like that. That water's cold. Okay? I mean, there would be all kinds of demons in your mind as you're swimming for 50 miles. All kinds of places to quit, Pastor. For what? Okay, so here we are. We have a mandate from God to live for Him. And sometimes we can't even clean our basement out. Have you ever set a goal and said, this is what I'm going to do? Only to fail miserably at it. And that can come from anything in your life. And that's not what God said. God said that in all these things, we can be not just a conqueror, but more. So, real quick, I got to apply that. So, take your Bibles. Let me find it here. All right, go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, once you look up in verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, says this, now Naaman, captain of the, I got to read while you find that, so 2 Kings 5, 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives. So look at that word, captive. Out of the land of Israel, a little maid. Look at that. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. So in order to understand this, we need to look at this story. And here's something that helps me. Don't just read it, because you've read that before. I want you to take a chair. I want you to sit down in that story, and I want you to look around. Pastor, how old is she? What would you guess? She's old enough to work, right? So if she's old enough to work, then she was also cognizant of what happened. Do you understand what happened? Okay, what happened was Naaman went into that village. The word captive, that's not a friendly thing. Okay, that means she went against her will. Okay, do you think her mom and dad would have just let that happen, Pastor? So what does that mean? They're not there. So there's houses on fire. There's people dead in the street. There's chaos. And a scared little girl. Somebody grabs her, throws her in a chariot. And let's put her anywhere between 6 and 12. You take a 6 to a 12-year-old out of our churches today and you put them through that. Would you be surprised if they're in their bedroom at night crying themselves, hiding underneath the sheets, rocking back and forth, having problems functioning, not wanting to eat? Would you blame her? No. And can you please explain to me what happened here? Because over breakfast one morning, she overhears a conversation between Naaman and his wife, finds out that Naaman's got cancer. That would be modern leprosy, probably. Had leprosy. And that little girl says to Naaman's wife, I'm just going to ad lib. Boy, I wish I was home. And Naaman's wife says, please don't start that again. I can't help what happened to you. I'm sorry. We're taking the best care of you that we can. I understand that you... And she says, no, ma'am. That's not why I wish I was home. I wish I was home because I know somebody that could help your husband. That is supernatural. That is beyond what you would expect out of somebody who is 6 to 12 years old. Now let's look at our life. Let's look at the things that get the best of us. I don't know about you, but am I the only one that's got a list of things that I want to do better? Things inside that I'm not happy with? Things that I want to do for the Lord? Things that I want to accomplish? And it only just to be driven back by the devil and by circumstances? And here's this girl. Man, can you imagine God up in heaven and there's an angel and God says, hey, look, that little girl needs something. Toss her a sword. And out from heaven comes grace like you wouldn't believe. She grabs that sword and these demons of depression and of fear and of anxiety and of worry and I can't and look what happened to you just come running at her, pastor, and that little girl just one by one lays those demons on the ground. And you have a battlefield. You got a little girl standing there. She drops the sword and God says, nay, in all these things ye are more than a conqueror. That's what it looks like. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. I can just tell you that one because you know it. But it says this, same scenario, right? Captive, right? We don't need to go through all. But here's something I want you to think about Daniel. So now you've got to put a chair in Daniel's story and you've got to look around. Who took care of Daniel and his men? It was a guy. And what was his title? The Prince of Eunuchs. So if your title was the Prince of Eunuchs, what did that mean? You oversaw who? Eunuchs. So do you understand that Daniel, when he was led away captive and he was brought into that town, his future was taken from him. Daniel's never having kids. Daniel's never going to have a family. And then yet, when given the opportunity and presented to be able to live like he wanted to live or what the flesh would like, Daniel purposed in his heart not to do that. Now, you take an average teenage boy today and you take your future away from you. You take away your hope away from you. You put yourself in that scenario. Pastor, you got a good group of guys. Unfortunately, we're not retaining them like we need to. And we're losing them once they get older and they get out. They're not sticking with the stuff. So what you've got to explain to me, and I understand this world's different than the way he grew up and I grew up, and these older guys, they're on a whole nother level. I understand that. I understand there's obstacles in your way that I didn't have to go through. But you're going to have to explain to me how he did that. How he took all that hurt and all those problems and all that baggage and stand up and say, I'm going to do what's right. So there's a young man and a young girl, so we got to keep moving. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel chapter 24. Oh, I got to hurry. Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 18. God's going to Ezekiel. He's getting ready to ask Ezekiel to do something that's very, very difficult. He's asking him to do that because he's getting ready to hammer Israel. And he wants to make a point with it. So this is what he's telling Ezekiel in verse 16. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee, listen to these words, the desire of thine eyes. He's talking about Ezekiel's wife with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make nor mourning for the dead, bind the tire of thy head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. Now, I'm sorry, I don't have time to develop this whole thing and tell you why God asked him to do this. This is what he's going to do to Israel. And he wanted Israel to get a 3D picture of what's coming. So he said, Ezekiel, you've been faithful, but I've got to ask you to do one more thing for me. Tonight, I got to take your wife home. And you can't cry. You can't mourn. You can't be upset. You can't show them any sign that this is hurting you. Because what I'm going to do to them, that's how I'm going to act afterwards. And I want them to see this first. So, Pastor, do you think that that night when Ezekiel went in there, he walks into the bedroom, he opens it up, and there's his wife. He feels her, and she's gone. Did you think he just said, well, that's that? No. No, no, no. Again, you got to put your chair in his room for a minute, and you just got to sit there. Can you see this man just start to cry? He wasn't allowed to cry out there. He sits next to her bed, holds her head, and just weeps. And then he crams all that inside. And he steps out those doors. And the Bible says, in the morning, he did what God commanded him. Listen, you know what's going to happen this week? Listen, I'm married 25 years. I'd be lying to you if I told you every day is Leave It to Beaver. No. No, 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 no. That's just the truth. Okay? And you know what happens? When obstacles come, we use these words, I'm overwhelmed. Here's one that just hurts my heart, Pastor. I hear this, I'm tired. You ever heard that? I'm just tired. Well, how'd he do it, preacher? Okay. Yeah, I get it. I've been there. And we're going to go there again, I'm sure. Okay? You know, when I'm in Africa and I'm thinking, you know, I had two assistant pastors, a secretary, and I just blew two flat tires, and I'm thinking, poof, I did something wrong. Took a wrong turn somewhere. Okay, I understand that. But what God's saying is, Dave, look up, buddy. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And all these things, we are more than conquerors. I got to do one more. Okay. Probably my, it's one of the sadder ones, but probably my most favorite, and then we're done. John chapter 19, verse 25. John 19, verse 25, it says this. Now there stood by the cross, so immediately that takes us to a darker place. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. So really quick, you're at the cross. Jesus is on the cross. He's just trying to breathe, guys. He's beaten beyond what you could tell who he is. The blood's running down his face. His eyes are swollen. The crown of the thorns are poking through his eyebrows. His stomach's a mess. His back's a mess. And you know who's standing there? His mom. Remember when the Lord said that, blessed art the angels, and blessed art thou among women? I think that it wasn't necessarily because she was a virgin, because that was more popular back then than it was today. She wasn't the only one. It had to do when God asked that young lady to do this. Not just that, but what he was going to ask her to do one day, actually stand there and comfort her son. Do you think that was a comfort for Jesus to have his mom there? Well, absolutely. Do you think if you would have seen that scene that Mary would have just been a mess? Well, that wouldn't have been very comforting. That would have been harder on Jesus, right? No, I don't assume she wasn't crying. I'm sure she was. But it appears she held it together. Could you imagine how difficult that would be to witness that and you can't do anything about it and you're standing there? And what you have is you got this little lady, sword in hand, showing us what it's like to be a conqueror. Well, then now you take that in and let's Guys, I'm 48. Can't always be in Africa. There's a whole world out there. There may be a small town in the United States that's going to be hard and tough, preacher. Whatever it is. Are you tired of failing? Are you tired of the devil just getting the best of you? Well, you know what? Well, we don't have to. Wrap your arms around that. Find comfort in the fact that Jesus said, these lists and this list can't. It's not that they won't happen. He didn't say that, preacher, did it? Okay? It just said, Job, the devil comes up, man, punches him right in the face. Down he goes. Devil walks away and says, well, that was easy. He hears something moving. Job stands back up. Can you watch him, preacher? Busted lips, spits blood on the ground. Naked I came in. Naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the devil don't know what to do with crazy. You know? Looking around and go, I mean, I can just picture that in my mind. Him getting just punched right in the face. Okay? And, I mean, he's staggering, trying to find out what just happened to him. His kids are gone. His money's gone. You know, he's trying to get his bearing, and the devil thinks, hey, I got him. That's what he expected. He didn't expect to have to go round two, preacher. He thought this is going to be done. Spit that blood on the ground. You know what we can do today? Yeah, guys, I've been hit, and we'll get hit again. He doesn't say it's not going to come our way. Whatever it is that you would like to do for the Lord, or even in your own life, goals that you have. Okay? You fail, you get back up. And you hold on to this. Nay, and all these things. We're more than conquerors. I got to be done. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for the truth. And just thank you for helping us. Lord, because life will take us down one of these roads. And when it does, we just need to know that we do not have to accept failure or defeat, and there is a way to get through. And Jesus, thank you for showing us in the life of these people what it looks like, what Romans 8 looks like. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.